I want you to go ahead and thank God for the receipts now. Father, I thank you for the receipt of all that you have provided tonight. I thank you for the receipt of all that I have declared tonight. In the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now, brethren, we have just two prayer points. Hallelujah. I want to show us something tonight before we go into the word properly. I want to get it now. Now, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12 says, giving thanks to the Father. Pay attention, please, everybody. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Let me repeat. It says we should give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now, listen to this. Now, God has qualified you for good things. Understand this, that the inheritance of the saints in light is what is written in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 29, that, you know, have dominion. The Bible says, and God bless them, okay, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, have dominion. It is the inheritance of the saints in light to have dominion on the earth, to express dominion over everything that is created. I want to get it now. Now, the Bible says that God has qualified you. Can somebody say God has qualified you? Now, I'm saying this because we're going to look at one of the many things that God has qualified us for, even as we're praying for you tonight. I want to get it now. But we just have to take one, two things that may stand as obstacle away. I discovered that one of the many reasons that we do not experience the things that God has freely given unto us is because we are disqualified in our spirit. There is a disqualification or a condemnation. No wonder Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I would agree now. Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Listen to me. There is peace between you and God, and you have been qualified for the inheritance of the saints in light. Hallelujah. So it means that every scripture that you find in the Bible, that is a promise. I want to get it now. You are qualified to experience it. Let me say this to you. Any good thing that you have seen happen to anyone in the Bible before, that is provided for in the Word of God, you are qualified to receive it. If there's any healing, you are qualified to receive it. If there's any prosperity, you are qualified for it. If there's any blessings, you have been qualified for it. I want to get it now. Now, Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He says that I will give you rest. Hallelujah. And Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 says, therefore, there remains a rest for the people of God. What we want to do, brethren, tonight is that we want to enter into that rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's our major prayer. We want to enter into the rest prepared for us by the Lord Jesus. Even as we're in seasons of new beginnings. So we have said it is a season of new beginning. It is not a season of new beginning because you by yourself have to start looking for ways to begin afresh. Mm-mm. There is a system prepared for you. Enter into it. Hallelujah. Now, quickly, there are two things that usually disqualify men, that the devil uses to disqualify men from the experience of the rest. Now, look at this. Mark chapter 11, verse 23. I'm reading fast. I'm trying my best to, you know, to be fast. Hallelujah. So that we can cover a lot of ground today, even as we look to close the series next week. Now look up. It says, truly I tell you, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, if anyone says to this mountain, pay attention to what Jesus is saying here. If anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, hallelujah, it will be done for them. If any man speaks to a mountain, any kind of mountain. The Bible says, if that man speaks to that mountain and he has faith and does not doubt what he has said, even though what he has said does not look like it's coming to pass now, as long as he does not doubt what he has said, hallelujah, the Bible says that he will receive it. Now look at this. It says, therefore, I tell you, whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Whatsoever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and it shall be yours. Now look at this. There's one thing that causes what we have believed in prayer to not come to us. One of the many things that the Bible says, and when you stand praying, this is what the Lord Jesus is saying. He's still continuing this discussion. He says, and when you stand praying, forgive. Hallelujah. When you stand praying, forgive. We do this often as much as possible. Because by revelation, I understand that Satan uses, you know, people, causes people to misbehave to us so that we can remain in anger and bitterness, and it can keep both of us in bondage that way. Hallelujah. When you stand praying, forgive. He says, if you do not forgive, I will get now. Your Father in heaven will not forgive you. Now, you and I understand that God cannot answer the prayers of the man that he has not forgiven. Hallelujah. If God is angry with you, the systems of God cannot work for you. Hallelujah. If there is no peace between you and God, the systems of God cannot work for you. If you are living in disobedience, the system of God cannot work for you. So if God is saying, forgive, you have to obey. I will take it now. That's the first thing we're taking out of the way. But Father, I want you to think about the people, one, two, three, four people that have offended you. The offense was so great. It was so heart-rending. I will take it now. You have decided that you are not going to forgive them, not in this act. That probably when you get to heaven, you will forgive them. Hello? They are the reasons why there is a limitation to the experience of God in your life. Forgive. You need to release them tonight. Hallelujah. Are we ready? Can we begin to open our mouth and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release soul and soul and soul person from the grudges I hold against them. Can you just go ahead now? Go ahead now. In the name of Jesus, Father, I release everyone and anyone that I may be holding a grudge against, whether I know or I don't, knowingly or unknowingly, consciously or unconsciously, I forgive them in the name of Jesus. I release them from those grudges in the name of Jesus. Le kadusiele balatosha, remonia malosa pada, gregedi balakado. Go ahead, go ahead. I understand that it was painful. I understand that even now, as you're thinking about it, you are driven to tears. But you have to forgive them. Go ahead and forgive them. I understand it is painful. Go ahead, forgive them. That long have I kept this person and myself in prison. Today, in the name of Jesus, I have seen the wisdom of God, and so I forgive them. In the name of Jesus. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. 1 more minute, go ahead. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' mighty name, we're still praying. Now we've taken one out of the way. Let's take the other. Praise the Lord. Remember, Jesus said, if your father, if you do not forgive, he says, your father that is in heaven will not forgive you. Now look up, guys. There is something you must understand, that what I have discovered, you know, many times even myself in the past, when I'm praying for something and I'm about to receive the thing, or I have seen God's word for it, and I'm holding on to God's word, Satan tries as much as possible to remind you of the wrongdoings you have done in the past. Hallelujah. He tries as much as possible to remind you of the sins you have committed in the past. And once you see yourself in the light of these sins, hallelujah, once you see yourself in the light of these sins, or you allow Satan to tell you that the experiences you are having, the, you know, the things that is happening, the death that you're experiencing, the lack of progress that you're experiencing, is as a result of these sins. Hallelujah. These things become permanent in your life. To get rid of the sin becomes a problem. To get rid of the issue becomes a problem. Hallelujah. But glory be to God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. Hallelujah. And just. And will forgive us our sins. And purify us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. If we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and purify us. Can we go ahead now? If there's one particular thing, one particular sin that Satan always brings up to your nose and say, you did this, can you confess it to God now and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess this to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Even as I confess to you, I receive forgiveness in the name of Jesus. I ask that the blood of Jesus wash me clean. Can you go ahead now? You are taking away an obstacle to the prayer tonight. So please take this serious. Shatoria Pashata. Rigada Sopariada. Rigidi Sangeria Gadasha. Remeno Pileka Lupiada Sopaya. E palapaya da bata papaya parata papaya parata papaya. Rego si para da ba. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are still praying. Now, this is our main prayer for tonight. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He says, I will give rest for your souls. Hallelujah. I will give rest for your souls. Now, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. Bible says, therefore, there remaineth a rest to the people of God. These two scriptures shows one thing, that since you have received the Lord Jesus, you are qualified to enter into his rest. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are qualified to enter into his rest. Now, I want you to stand on your 2 feet this evening. I mean, not literally, but stand on your 2 feet spiritually. Can you begin to declare, in the name of Jesus, I enter into my prepared rest in Christ. In the name of Jesus, over my finances, I enter into my prepared rest in Christ. In the name of Jesus, over my health, I enter into my prepared rest in Christ. In the name of Jesus, over my children, over my family, I entered into my prepared rest in Christ. In the name of Jesus, can you go ahead now? Pasha taria batoka, krigada supelega. Over my ministry, in my ministry, I enter into my prepared rest in Christ. In the name of Jesus, because there remaineth a rest unto me, I do not live by my physical effort. I do not live by my own labor. I am resting on what Christ has done. In the name of Jesus, over every single area of my life, my assurance, my rest is on what Christ has done, not what I can do, not what I am doing. In the name of Jesus. Regede balagadiaga ilikradira galagada erregede galagadara ilikadiria galagadara ishakradura balapada kata. Thank you, Father. 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 For in Jesus' mighty name, we are prayed. And so, Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all adoration. We say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. We thank you for today and every day. We thank you for all that you are doing through us. We thank you for all that you're doing for us. We say, hallowed be thy name in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, even as we go in your word tonight, we ask that you reveal yourself to us in the name of Jesus. We ask that you speak to us tonight in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, we rely on you in the name of Jesus. Teach us tonight in the name of Jesus. Show us things tonight in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name, we are still praying. Amen. Now, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians chapter 2. And verse 5. Quickly, we started a journey last week by the grace of God, and we're continuing that journey this week. The title of the journey is Epignosis, that is the comprehensive understanding of knowledge. Now, last week, we started talking about the prior nature of revelations, and that is knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The triune nature of revelation knowledge. And last week, we were able to dwell a lot on, you know, knowledge. But today, by the grace of God, we want to start with understanding and, you know, take knowledge from where we stopped and then, you know, take it one step further into understanding. Hallelujah. Now, Philippians 2 and verse 5. We're reading from verse 5, you know, down to verse 9. But let's just read verse right now. It says, you in a relationship with all and other have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This is what the NIV version says. Please, can I have the King James version? The King James version says that let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. So there is a mind in Christ Jesus that you should have. Hallelujah. Now, that the Bible says, let the mind be in you, means that you do not automatically have the mind. Hallelujah. Let this mind be in you. So it means that if you are going to have this mind, you are going to have to allow it to be in you. Hallelujah. Why is this mind important? You know, if you read it down to verse 9, you understand why it's important. We don't have the time to do that. But the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. One of the first things that the Lord Jesus did is that despite that he was in the form of God, he did not think of it as robbery to call himself a son of God. Hallelujah. So he had an understanding that made him think and talk like God. The Bible says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery. If you are also in the form of God, hallelujah, if you have the life of God in you, you are in the form of God. Hallelujah. You should not think it robbery to be equal with God, according to the Bible. But it says, he made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Are we together now? And was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. So despite all of the, you know, despite all of the manifestation of God that is capable of doing, there was humility found in his life. There is a kind of mind that makes these two possible. Hallelujah. There is a kind of mind that makes authority, power, and humility blend in one person. Hallelujah. The Bible says this is the kind of mind that was in Christ Jesus. You should allow it to be in you. Why is the mind important? Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but experience a transformation by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Hallelujah. By the renewing of your mind. So the renewing of your mind can cause a transformation in your mind. Now, why is your mind important? We talked about this last week. We have said that your mind has three major parts. Hallelujah. It has three major parts. And the first part is the will of the man. The second part is, you know, the emotions of the man. Hallelujah. And the third part is the intellect of the man, or say the belief systems of the man. That is what exists in every mind. Every mind. Hallelujah. Every mind. Make no mistake, every mind is able to have will, emotions, and belief system. So the mind of the spirit is like that too. So this, the mind of the spirit understands as a will of its own. I will get it now. The mind, the kind of mind that was in Christ Jesus has a will, the kind of mind that was in Christ Jesus that the Bible is asking you to have now. I will get it now. As emotions, I will get it. In fact, it is reflected in the compassion of the Lord Jesus. And the mind that the Bible is asking you to have now as a belief system, it is that belief system that the Bible calls faith. Hallelujah. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 7. Very important. Let's pay attention to these things. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, since they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. See, since though we live in the world, we do not wage a war as the world does. Hallelujah. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. It says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Hallelujah. It says, What do? With strongholds, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Kaderia gada shapayanada. Look at this. It says anything that is called a stronghold. Listen to this. A stronghold is any kind of knowledge that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. A stronghold is a body of information that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. It can be any kind of information. It can be any body of information. You remember last week we talked about the immense power of knowledge. To tell you that you can have a body of information, you can have a kind of knowledge in your mind. And this kind of knowledge will exalt itself against the knowledge of God, such that if the knowledge of God is not in your life, are we together now? The kind of knowledge that you have, that is raising itself up will determine the kind of life you are living. You know, I like to tell people this. Man is on his own, really. No man can on his own live life. You can't, really. Because even the will of the man is determined by the beliefs of the man. And the beliefs of the man did not belong to the man. They are because of the knowledge that the man has acquired. So basically, the world and the elements of the world are programming men to live in a particular way through the knowledge that they acquire. Are we together now? I'm telling you, knowledge is spiritual. Hallelujah. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. What do we do? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And how do we pull down strongholds? We cast down imaginations. Hallelujah. We cast down imaginations. In our series on spirituality of thoughts, we are going to talk about this, microscopically. Let's just talk about it generally for now. It says we cast down imaginations. And we bring into captivity every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So spiritual warfare, listen to this, brethren. What is called spiritual warfare in the Bible? That we, you know, sometimes go to prayer mountains to go and do. That we sometimes fast, you know, 7 days, 21 days, you know, that we do all kinds of things to fight. Hallelujah. The Bible says what is called spiritual warfare is simply finding a way to bring down the knowledge that is exalting itself against the knowledge of God. So it is a particular kind of knowledge that you have that is keeping the man in bondage. Hallelujah. Ha, you are not getting this. It is so men are not able to put you in, listen to me. Satan is not able to put you in bondage until there is a kind of knowledge that you have accepted from him that is keeping you in bondage. This is why Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32 and 36, that you shall know the truth and it will set you free. So there is a body of information that can keep a man in bondage, and there is another body of information that can make him free. Are we together now? Knowledge. Knowledge is power. Very powerful, I tell you. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Quickly. Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Mark chapter 4. The gospel according to Saint Mark chapter 4 and verse 24. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Bible says, consider carefully what you hear. This is the Lord Jesus speaking here. He says, consider carefully what you hear. Hallelujah. He continued. He said, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Listen to this. consider what you hear. Perhaps you should read two verses prior so that we can understand. Mark chapter 4 from verse 23. It says, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Listen to this. Jesus is saying, even to you now, if you have ears, listen, consider carefully what you are hearing. Because the measure you use to hear is the measure that will be used to, that will be used to serve you and even more. And you and I know that knowledge is acquired mainly by hearing and seeing. Jesus was saying you should consider carefully the knowledge that you permit into your life, because the rate of the knowledge that is permitted into your life is the measure to and the degree to which your life will manifest. Hallelujah. So there are many people today, it is not because of anything, because of the kind of knowledge that they have received, the kind of knowledge that they have mixed together with the gospel of our Lord Jesus, their lives cannot leave a point. Hallelujah. If your life is going to change for the better, I'm being honest with you now, if your life is going to look anything like God has promised, you are going to have to get the knowledge of God. See, knowledge is not just books. It is a body of information that forms the basis of all man does. Let me repeat. Knowledge is a body of information that forms the basis of all that man does and all that man is capable of. So your capability is limited to the knowledge that you possess. Are we together now? Hi. Your capabilities, they are limited to the knowledge that you possess. Now, this is interesting. Now, listen to this again. Now, knowledge is power. Hallelujah. Knowledge is power. And as such, the knowledge of God reveals the power of God. Listen to this. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, because the weapons of our warfare, it says, they are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Listen to this. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And what do we do with strongholds? We cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And I've told us before that it is a body of information, otherwise called knowledge. It is a kind of knowledge that comes together that forms strongholds. And so the power of that knowledge is what the Bible calls strongholds. The same way the power of the knowledge of God is the power of God. The knowledge carries the power of the entity it came from. So the knowledge of Satan carries the power of Satan. Are we together now? Hallelujah. The knowledge of Satan carries the power of Satan. And the knowledge of God carries the power of God. No wonder. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 2 to 4. Now let's look at what Apostle Peter was saying there. The Holy Spirit through Apostle Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 from verse 2 to 4. You may be surprised that I'm emphasizing on knowledge again tonight. It has a reason. I would go there. Because until one understands the power of knowledge, until one understands the extent to which knowledge forms and deforms life, the remaining two, understanding and wisdom, is pointless. Are we together now? It says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Hallelujah. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. The KJV version says, grace and peace is multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace, hallelujah, and peace. We have said before that grace is the immeasurable provision of God to meet any need you may have. Grace is the immeasurable provision of God to meet any need that you may have. Any need that you may have. Any need Grace is God's answer to all of your prayer requests. Grace is God's answer to all of the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. Grace is God's answer to the greatest and the deepest of your hungers, the deepest of your cries, the greatest of your regrets, the deepest of your heart cries. All that you desire from God, His answer is grace. Are we together now? Are we together now? The Bible now says grace. And everybody, I believe everybody understands what peace is. Are we together now? So grace and peace. The Bible says grace is able to make you live like a king. How much more they that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. Are we together now? He says they shall reign in life. The gift of righteousness signifies the peace that is between you and God. He says when these two are there, what will happen is that you are going to reign in life. So you are not reigning in life yet. Listen to me. You are not reigning in life yet because you've not understood grace and how to operate grace. Are we together now? Now the Bible says that grace and peace can be multiplied, and there is only one multiplier. It is not by prayers. It is not by anything else. It is by the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Are we together now? So the knowledge of God and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus releases grace and peace to you. Huh. I tell you, knowledge is powerful. So anything, listen to this now. Anything that, any kind of belief systems, all kinds of knowledge that you have. Are we together now? All kinds of knowledge that you have that does not align, I repeat, that does not align with, so to say, the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus is not uplifting and can't help you. I was going now. I was going now. So anything that does not align with the knowledge of our Lord Jesus and the knowledge of God is enslaving. Are we together now? It's so important that we understand this. Grace and peace can be multiplied by knowledge. So if grace and peace can be multiplied by knowledge, it then means that grace and peace is activated by knowledge. So in other words, it is the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus that carries the grace and the peace. Are we together now? So when the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus enters into the spirit of the man, are we together now? Then grace and peace is produced and multiplied. Is anybody listening to me tonight? So the grace of God carries the power of God. The knowledge of God carries the power of God. The knowledge of God reveals the power of God. The knowledge of God reveals the power of God. You know, you might begin to wonder, what is the difference between the knowledge of God and then the knowledge of the Lord Jesus? They're two different things entirely. Two different things entirely. Well, by the grace of God, we're going to do a series on the two. The knowledge of God and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But you must understand that there's a basic difference. But the knowledge of God opens you up to the understanding of possibilities that are available to you. I want to get now. Because that is knowing your Father, knowing the things that belongs to you. And the knowledge of our Lord Jesus brings you to the identity, to the understanding of your own identity. Because what the Lord Jesus did, hallelujah, what the Lord Jesus did was not just to create people that are like sons to God, but He actually replicated Himself in every single believer. I'm saying you are a replica of the Lord Jesus. That's what I'm saying. Are we together now? So knowing Jesus is knowing yourself. I'm being honest with you. Knowing Jesus is knowing yourself. Knowing God is coming to the understanding of what you are capable of doing. Are we together now? And what is open to you to receive. But because of our time, our major emphasis for tonight is understanding. But if you can get knowledge, understanding is easier. Understanding is very much easier. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9. Mashapradira gadosa palaga. Brigidi balondia di bradosigele balagudasa. He says, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. Okay? We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. Can I have the KJV version, please? He says, for this reason, for the day we have heard about it, we continually pray for you that the God will fill you with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's the language the King James Version uses. The spiritual understanding. Now, this version, the NIV says, the understanding that the Spirit gives. So there is a kind of understanding that the Spirit of the Lord gives. I want to get it now. There is a kind of understanding that the Spirit of understanding gives. Because in Isaiah chapter 11, when we are introduced to the seven spirits of God, we discover that one of the spirits of God, basically the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer, is called the spirit of understanding. There is actually a spirit of understanding. It is the spirit of God, and it gives a kind of understanding. Are we together now? This understanding is what the Bible calls spiritual understanding. And the Bible says that this kind of understanding cannot exist without the knowledge of God. It says, the knowledge of God will fill you up in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So spiritual understanding comes as a result of having the knowledge of the will of God. So even if God wanted to give unto you spiritual understanding without you acquiring prior knowledge, are we together now? What it will do for you is that it will release the knowledge unto you. Are we together now? God wanted to speak to Ezekiel. Ezekiel didn't have the strength to bear up in the presence of God. And God said, son of man, get up. I want to speak to you. The moment God said that, the Spirit entered into Ezekiel and took him up. Is somebody listening to me? Knowledge is a prerequisite to understanding. You don't just have spiritual understanding until there is knowledge. Whether the knowledge is revelational or whether you have to seek it, it does not matter. In fact, hallelujah, the truth is this, understanding is revelational knowledge. When knowledge becomes revelational, it is called understanding. Are we together now? Are we together now? Isaiah chapter 11, quickly, so that let's just read the scriptures, and then we'll take it one by one. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3 to 4, quickly. Isaiah chapter 11. From verse 3 and 4. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Ratu shaparada, debalata shaparada. Brigede bezakaruda. Now let's go ahead. It says, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3. It says, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eye sees. Can somebody give me KJV, please? Isaiah chapter 11, from verse 3. KJV, please. Pashaporia balakada. Eneminari bradosi licandusia gashopara di bragadosa. Regede belecanduze regederia gradusha palaga. Let me try and read from my end Isaiah chapter 11, from verse 3. Now, I want you to pay attention to something here. It's so important that we say this. It says, from verse 2, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, talking about the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Listen, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Now look at this. And it says, this spirit shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And because he has a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes. Neither will he reprove after the hearing of his ears. He says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the head with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Hallelujah. But the first thing that the Bible says is that this spirit shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. They'll make him quick understand. Listen to this now. Now, the moment he has quick understanding, the first thing the Bible says that he will do is that he will judge. Hallelujah. He will judge. He will judge. Not after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Now, what the Bible is saying about the Lord Jesus is that he's not going to communicate in the manner of men. See, understand the kind of understanding that you possess, hallelujah, determines the kind of way that you see things. In fact, understanding is simply perceptive ability. Aha. So a part of understanding, let me break it down. So understanding functions basically in two ways. Hallelujah. The first way understanding functions is that it gives you insight into knowledge. Are we together now? The knowledge that you already possess, when you have insight into that knowledge in such a way that you can bring the knowledge in you is able to reproduce. Are we together now? When the knowledge in you begins to reproduce, that is understanding. Are we together now? That is the part of it. Now, the second part of it is that the reproduction of the knowledge you have acquired now begins to determine how you see other things, how you acquire other information. That is understanding too. So there are two parts to understanding. One is a product. The other is a perceptive ability. Now, both of them rely on knowledge. That is why for many people, they see understanding is more knowledge. It is deeper than that statement. Understanding is more knowledge. But in reality, what it does is that the first part of it gives you insight into knowledge. So what makes knowledge powerful, really, is that it can enter into a man and reproduce in the man. So when the knowledge in the man reproduces in the man, such that the man can now begin to break down the knowledge he has into several aspects of his life and begin to align the things he has learned with it and the things that has happened in the past. That is understanding. So the knowledge he has acquired is aligning with all that he has, with his life so far, with what he has acquired in the past. That is just one part of understanding. The other part is that it now begins to form the way he sees other things. The Bible says, when the Spirit rests on him, are we together now? He will judge by what he sees. He will not judge by the things that he sees with his eyes. So you are judging, hallelujah, now. So the kind of judgment that you pronounce every day, hallelujah, is because of your understanding. Now, when we say judgment, it's important that we understand this simple statement that when we say judgment, hallelujah, Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, when we say judgment, we are not actually saying condemnation, so to say. Every time we are saying judgment, we are saying, I'm looking for another language you can use for the word judgment now. I'm looking for the way another word you can use. Because the word judgment itself does not really explain what the Bible is saying there. It means that to consider a matter, I would get it now, and draw a conclusion from that matter. Exactly. That is judgment. And so the conclusion you drew from that matter will now determine the action that you take. So the judgment the Bible is talking about here is the hair to look at an issue and draw a conclusion from that issue after trying to understand why it happened, how it happened, and all of that. Then you now take an action based on the conclusion you draw from the issue. That is judgment. Now, this is determined by your understanding. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 to 6. Before we look at two or three things that judgment is, I mean that understanding is. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5 to 6, quickly. I have just about 13 more minutes. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Somebody read along with me. Say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If I can say, I will trust in the Lord with all my heart. And it says, lean not on your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lead not unto thine own understanding. Thank you, Pastor. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And this is not, lean not unto thine own understanding. So there is your own understanding, and there is a spiritual understanding. Are we together now? Now, basically, there is your own understanding, and there is a spiritual understanding. You know, this was about a year or 2 years ago. We were having a discussion in church on one of our friends' day. And, you know, a very good brother in church stood up and he said, sometimes we have to be careful with the application of God's word. Now, why did he say so? He said, well, God's word might mean something to us, I mean to him, and then that same scripture might mean another thing to that person, to another person, and might also mean another thing to another person, and might also mean another thing to another person. And so, because of that, we should not be so conclusive in God's word. And, you know, I looked at him and I didn't say anything really. But glory be to God, the anchor of the meeting went ahead and looked out for a scripture. He said, all men must understand this, that no scripture is of private interpretation. Listen to me. Understand this. What God is saying in every scripture is what God is saying. Are we together now? What he is saying is what he is saying. Yes, there are deeper understanding of these things. Are we together now? And the wisdom in the application of what he has said in your life may differ. But what he is saying is what he is saying. Are we together now? So the interpretation of God's word must not be private. I mean, must not be different, privately speaking. Is somebody listening to me? So what causes that to happen is because of the understanding that many may have. You agree with me that when you gather 10 men together, they don't have the same kind of understanding. So even if they are Christians, give them one scripture. Not all 10 of them will see it the same way. Why? And the reason not all 10 of them is not seeing the same way is that most likely all 10 of them, none of them has the spiritual understanding that the scripture requires. And so we want to use a scripture. We want to use God's word that we do not have the spiritual understanding that it requires. There's a problem. So when Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 was admonishing us to renew our mind, it was not a joke. It is so that we can build an understanding. Are we together now? So that we can build an understanding. So that we can build an understanding. So the transformation that the Bible is talking about will not come to pass until there is a spiritual understanding. Let me read what I said there. There's a few things that understanding her. It says, understanding is the deep insight into knowledge that allows the individual to process realities. One, I wish someone would be writing this down. The understanding is a deep insight into knowledge, or say a product of the reproductive cycle of knowledge that allows the individual to process realities, to process experiences, to process knowledge, and judge accordingly. So no man can behave beyond this level of understanding. No man can judge things beyond this level of understanding. Hallelujah. That's one. Two, now understanding is processed information and the determinant of how information is perceived and processed. So unlike knowledge is raw. Knowledge is not processed yet. Knowledge is raw. So that is why, let me use this analogy, for example. I believe that you have been in school at some point in time. I used to be a student at some point in time. And when I was in school, we call some people crammers, and some people we know that they just know it. I was good now. So the guys that cram the course, those are the guys that have the knowledge and they are taking it in word for word. They have it in their head, raw knowledge, word for word. They do not understand it, but they have the raw knowledge in their head, in their brains, word for word. But there are some men, there are some students rather, that have an understanding of the course. So they may not have the knowledge in Brought word for word, but they have the knowledge in themselves. The knowledge has reproduced in them. And so they can bring forth out of this knowledge in any dimension and in any way. They have an understanding. So knowledge is raw power. Understanding is processed power. I was going to now. Knowledge is raw power. Understanding is processed power. And wisdom is applied power. Can I repeat that? Knowledge is raw power. Understanding is processed power. Wisdom is applied power. I was going to now. Now, there are basically different kinds of understanding. I have to hurry. In 7 minutes, we have to wrap up this meeting. Now, there are basically different kinds of understanding because there are different bodies of knowledge. Listen to this. It is the body of knowledge that is in the man that determines the kind of understanding that the man has. So there are some things that we can't share. I mean, there are some things that when you share them with men, they will not be able to bear them, because they are not able to have its understanding. Is somebody listening to me? Jesus told the disciples, you now, but he says you can't bear them. You can't bear them. He says, but when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you. It will teach you. Because the Spirit of truth comes along with it, a spirit of understanding. Such that when you acquire the knowledge of God's will, I will get it now, then it breathes into you a spiritual understanding. Is that clear? So different bodies of knowledge have different kinds of understanding. There is a knowledge of laws of the world, so say, I mean, there's the knowledge of economics, for example, and there is the understanding of economics. There is knowledge of physics, for example, and there's understanding of physics. There is knowledge of, you know, theology, for example, and there's understanding of theology. There are different bodies of knowledge, and you will agree with me that the understanding of these bodies of knowledge is what makes the application of the laws in these bodies of knowledge work. So there are different bodies of knowledge, and so there are different kinds of understanding. But praise be to God, there is a spiritual understanding. There is a kind of understanding. The Bible calls it spiritual understanding. Now, why is this spiritual understanding? Because it is a kind of understanding that is released unto men by the Spirit of God. Now, it is released unto men by the Spirit of God, because the man of God has found the word of God. Are we together now? And so in order for the word of God to take effect in the life of the man of God, are we together now? The man of God has to understand this word. And many times you don't understand this, that the word of God that we know but do not understand can have no effect in our life. You will see that there are some words of God that you may have known them for years, but the day you understand them, they change everything about your life. I will get it now. See, understanding determines how you see things, how you judge situations, how you approach everything that you come across in life. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. He that is spiritual judgeth. You are beginning to see it now. He that is spiritual already has spiritual understanding, and so he can judge all things, but no man can judge him. Let us round up with this last statement. The understanding enables a man to use wisdom. Without knowledge, know this, there is no understanding. Without knowledge, there is no understanding. Without understanding, knowledge is pointless. Without knowledge, there is no understanding. Without understanding, Knowledge is pointless, wisdom is impossible. That's why the Bible says, you know, in all wisdom, in all thy gettings, the Bible says, get wisdom. And in all thy gettings, get understanding. Get understanding. Get understanding. Get understanding. Get understanding. It is not only ignorance that is dangerous. I like to tell my students this many times, that it is not only ignorance that is dangerous. Knowledge without understanding, truth without understanding can also be dangerous. It is understanding, are we together now, that enables the man to apply the wisdom of God safely. Safely. Somebody say, I have spiritual understanding. Somebody say, I have this spiritual understanding again. So spiritual understanding is not something that just comes. You know, many of us are waiting for spiritual understanding to come in our dream. There is one key to spiritual understanding, and that key is the knowledge of the will of God. See, when you have the knowledge of the will of God, there are some things that you will not go back to go and ask God if it is his will. There are some things that you will not go back and be praying about. You know, someone was talking to me recently, and I had all confidence in the world to tell that person, all the confidence in the world to tell that person that God wants this and this and this to happen to you, because I know that it is his will. See, if somebody tells you that you don't have money, you can never be amount to anything great in this life. I want to get it now. Now, that is that person telling you. Maybe that person is someone that is a lot richer than you are, and you're looking forward to someone like a role model. And the person tells you that you can never amount to anything in your life. Listen to this. If you don't understand God's will for your life, do you realize that such a person can go and commit suicide? Because the person they are looking up to has just written them off. But if you have an understanding of the will of God concerning your life, and you say, see, you have just said your own. And you say it with all seriousness. You have just said your own. Because you don't know who I am. If you knew who I am, you would not be talking like that. Permit me to say this. Understanding changes everything. Listen to this. Understanding is the key that unlocks grace in the life of a believer. I repeat, understanding is the key that unlocks grace in the life of a believer. Knowledge brings grace to the life of a believer, but understanding unlocks it. I repeat, knowledge brings grace to the life of a believer. So the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus brings grace to the life of a believer. But it is understanding that unlocks this grace for activation. So without understanding, forget it, your prayer points are pointless. Without understanding, even the desires of your heart are just desires. They will remain desires, even though you can find scripture that confirms that this desire is yours. I'm being honest with you, you know scriptures that shows that this thing, they belong to you. But without understanding, you will not experience them. I would have even asked you to pray for spiritual understanding. But I believe this family, that for every believer that have received the Holy Spirit that we're together now, that the only way we can get understanding is by dwelling in the knowledge of God's will. It's not just studying, but meditating on the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Because when you meditate on the knowledge of our God and our Lord Jesus, what happens is that the Holy Spirit begins to reveal to you. What the Holy Spirit is revealing to you is spiritual understanding. I'm sure you've had this experience at least once in your life. Now, you knew how you felt when you understood the scripture. Now, imagine if you understood all of God's word that way. Hi, your life would have experienced a transformation. That is the goal. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Now you realize why the Lord Jesus spent a lot of years studying the scriptures. Let this mind be in you. He was building a mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. Can we go ahead this evening? Even as we begin to pray. The Father, in the name of Jesus, help me to have the kind of mind. Help me to renew my mind, that it might be like the one that was in Christ Jesus. Can we go ahead? Because that's the only thing I can really ask us to do. I can only ask us for help. I can only ask us to ask for help. Go ahead and ask for help. Go ahead, go ahead. Thank you, Father. We thank you because you have released the spirit of understanding upon us. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, because we have the spirit of the living God at work in us, and the spirit of understanding is upon us. We say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. We thank you because we have understanding, even as we acquire and seek the knowledge of God's will in the name of Jesus. We thank you because we have spiritual understanding in the name of Jesus. We thank you because we have spiritual understanding in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father.